it's time to pony up to the table and hear all of what's going on in the county, where it all comes together. The County Grapevine, a 99.3 County FM, the voice of the county.
And welcome to the Grapevine for Thursday, June 24th. It's J.J. Johnson here, Jim Johnson, along with Krista Hepburn.
Hello.
Hey, Krista, we've been working on this show. We got a lot of things to talk about in a moment. But first of all, touring the county. That's what we did last weekend.
Yes, and it was so much fun.
Yeah.
There's so much to see. We really only got through half of it. We had, your son and daughter-in-law, and they've been to the county many times, but never really seen the county, so... We spent 2 days touring the county, going all sorts of places.
Yeah, we went through to Lake in the Mountain. We went to Wellington, went to Black Creek, the cheese factory there. We went to the Cherry Valley, and we went through the Sandbanks and back to East Lake and then West Lake. And yeah, we were out there and tooling about.
Yeah, it was amazing how tiring it was sitting in the car.
And so we were like tourists, and we have a lot of tourists coming in, that's for sure. And the border with Quebec is open, so you're seeing a lot of Quebec license plates around the area. And the place is bustling, that's for sure.
And those tourists are so important to our community and our economy.
All right, so let's talk about what's coming up in the show today. County Profile is something we do every Thursday. Carmen McDermott tells Renee Wiseman Stanners how he went from a county boy canning tomatoes on Big Island to shooting films with stars like Anne Margaret and Randy Travis.
And this week on County Grows, Master Gardener Kathy Thompson has info on the Japanese beetle and how you can protect your veggies and flowers from this hungry pest.
Is that a Beatles knockoff band from Japan?
I don't know about that.
And on What's Happening, we speak with Don Lang, co-owner of the Mustang Drive-In, about their initiatives, which include the trunk sales and their upcoming concert series featuring The Reasons this weekend. We also speak with Janet Reeder Day, interim president of the PEC Quilters Guild, about their upcoming raffle and how things have changed since COVID.
But up first...
I went to a garden party... Reminisce with my old friends.
I'm Krista Hepburn, and you're listening to County Grows. Today I'm speaking with Master Gardener Kathy Thompson. Today we're going to talk about Japanese beetles. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Krista. Thanks for having me here today.
Japanese beetles don't have a very good reputation, do they?
They do not. And we're starting to see Japanese beetles in their adult stage in our gardens right now. They've arrived in North America in 1916 through New Jersey when someone imported some rootstock that was infected. They've gradually, over the years, have moved to cover southeastern Canada and the United States east of the Mississippi River. They are considered an invasive species.
And how would I recognize a Japanese beetle? What do they look like?
Right now, they're in their adult stage. They're about one-third to one-half inch long. They have a shiny metallic green body with copper-colored wings, actually rather pretty. There are five small white tufts on each side of their body and a tuft at the tip of their abdomen.
Why are they considered a pest? What do they do?
Well, they live up to about 6 weeks, and this time is spent gathering in groups, feeding and mating repeatedly. They start to feed about late June or early July, and they can sometimes feed well into August, depending on the weather in the year. They are most active on warm, sunny days with a temperature around 21 degrees C and relative humidity around 60%. Japanese beetles can fly up to 1.6 kilometers, and if they get a good wind, they can go about 8 kilometers.
Wow.
Yeah. All this flying around is in search of friends and food and mates. They usually feed and mate during the morning when the temperatures are cooler, and they return to the soil in the late afternoon when the temperatures rise and get too warm. Once temperatures get to be about 35 degrees or the humidity goes up over 60%, they stop flying. And we consider them pests because of what they feed on and the kind of damage they do to the plants.
And what do they feed on?
Japanese beetles feed on the foliage and flowers of over 300 varieties of ornamental plants, vegetables, shrubs, and trees. Their favorite foods include the rose and maple family, birch trees, flowering crab apple, cherries, peaches, grapes, and blueberries. I can also vouch for the fact that they enjoyed a hearty feeding on green and yellow bean plants. in my vegetable patch last year. They also enjoy wild raspberry, Virginia creeper, and wild grapes.
And what happens to the plants that they feed on?
Japanese beetles skeletonize the leaves on the plants. That means that they eat all the tissue in between the major veins in the leaf, and the leaf ends up looking like it's lace-like. The leaves will turn brown, and they will fall off. And while they're doing this, the leaves emit a feeding-induced odor, which attracts other Japanese beetles to the plant and plants in the area. Once the plant is emitting the odor, it attracts large clusters of beetles to gather, feed, and mate on particular plants. They chew on those plants, but they leave the neighboring plants, which are equally attractive to them, only slightly infested. One source document I used for my research called this like sharks to blood.
Hmm.
Badly damaged leaves, as I said, will turn brown and fall off. Plants like roses and trees, they can handle some damage from the beetles. Their blossoms, if they've been touched, will be damaged and unattractive. But fruits and vegetables and herbs will tolerate less feeding. And any severe damage to them will either kill the plant or kill the yield, like my green bean plants, fewer green beans.
So if the beetles are only adults for 6 weeks, what are the rest of the stages of the life cycle?
Japanese beetles only produce one generation a year. During the feeding frenzy, the beetles are mating and the females are laying eggs. The female beetle will lay several batches of eggs in the grassy areas of our, such as our lawns, over the feeding period. They'll lay about 40 to 60 eggs in 1 year. When the eggs hatch in about 2 weeks, as long as the soil is moist for them, they move on to the next stage, which is the larva. The larva are about 1/8 to 1 inch long. They are C-shaped, white to cream in color, with a distinct tan-colored head. There are other white grubs in our garden, in our soil, in our lawns. So to distinguish the Japanese beetle grub, you need to look at the underside of the tip of their abdomen, and then there's a special pattern of the spine and the hairs on the underside tip, and that's not something I do. They feed on the fine roots of the plants in the upper 2 to 4 inches of the soil, which is your lawn. In September, as the temperatures cool, the larvae move down into the soil so they can withstand the winter's cold temperatures. But as soon as the frost is gone in the spring, they move back up into the soil, and they're enjoying the lovely fine roots of your lawn once again. After a while, they will pupate. That's the next stage, and they're in that stage for 3 to 4 weeks, and then they emerge from the ground as adults, and the cycle begins all again.
And do the larvae or grubs damage the lawn?
Yes. Since they're eating the fine roots of the grass, your lawn or even the grass in the golf course will be damaged. The damage to the grass roots from them eating the fine roots reduces the ability of the grass plants to access water and nutrients that they need to grow and remain healthy. If the damage is severe, dead patches will occur, and they can be lifted and rolled back almost like a carpet.
And so how do we deal with the Japanese beetle?
For the adult, the most effective way to deal with them is to pick them or brush them off your plants when you see them and put them into a jar or a bucket of soapy water. You want to start really early because you don't want your plants getting damaged and emitting that odor that attracts the rest of the beetles. And you don't want to use Japanese beetle traps. These traps use pheromones to attract the beetles to your garden. And what they do is attract the beetles to your garden, but they will trap fewer beetles than what come to your garden. You have to remember that the beetles can fly 1.6 kilometers.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's an infestation a kilometer away, they will smell the traps and head to your garden. An alternative to picking them is to plant your garden with plants that are less attractive to them, like chrysanthemums and conifers and forsythia, rhododendrons, and daylilies.
And what about the larva? How do we control that?
Controlling the larva in your yard will not change the number of adults that will come to your garden, really, because of the fact that they can fly. The Japanese beetle grub in your lawn, if the infestation is severe, you can try biological insecticides such as parasitic nematodes. They infect the larvae, but generally don't infect beneficial insects. Nematodes need to be applied after the beetle eggs have hatched and there are larvae present in the soil. And when you apply them, you need to water the lawn first to make sure that the conditions are good for the nematodes, because nematodes are living organisms and they need to be treated as such. So when you apply the nematodes, you generally do it on a cool, cloudy day, or wait until an evening when the temperature is down. And they will infest the grubs and hopefully bring the count down for you. Mother Nature also provides some controls in the form of predators. Starlings enjoy the grubs and the adults, but other birds such as robins, blue jays, crows, sparrows, and cardinals enjoy them as a tasty treat. And raccoons and skunks enjoy them as well, but they tend to dig your lawn. You have to watch for those little critters coming in to visit. If you see them digging in your garden, you know you have the grubs. And there are also insects such as assassin bugs, ants, and predatory stink bugs that enjoy feasting on the grubs as well.
Gee, a lot goes on outside that we don't know about.
Yes. The soil is a busy place.
Yes.
So is the garden.
I guess so. And so, would I know the plant had Japanese
had
beetles
beetle?
Before it's too late?
Yes, because they're generally on the top surface of the leaves. That's how we noticed them on our bean plants last year. You'll see the damage that they're doing as well. There'll be little holes in your leaves, which gradually get bigger and bigger as they eat more and more of the tissue. And as the more of the tissue they eat, the more of the odor there is and the more beetles there are around to feast on your plants.
Okay, well, that is great. Good information. I'm going to go out and look at my rhododendron.
Yes.
And see what's happening with it.
We've been watching our green bean plants, and we haven't seen them in our garden yet, but they will be coming.
Okay, well, we'll watch out for that. Thanks, okay. Kathy, for speaking with me today.
Well, thank you for having me on the show.
I've been speaking to Master Gardener Kathy Thompson. If you have a question about gardening, go to pecmastergardeners.ca. I'm Krista Hepburn, and you've been listening to County Grows on the Grapevine at 99.3 County FM.
Thanks for that, Kathy. The PEC Master Gardeners are going to be participating in the Canadian Federation of University Women Town and Country Garden Tour on July 3rd.
They will be located at Garden Number 3, just off Rednersville Road, from 10 until 4. While you are enjoying your tour, bring your gardening questions and a Master Gardener will be there to help. Go to cfuwbelville.com/garden-tour for your tickets.
Coming up next, what's happening right here on the Grapevine on 99.3 County FM.